We gotta record. We gotta be doing that. We can't talk about ants without recording my nemesis.
I know. I said right before we started recording 5 seconds ago that I came home to Hannah's nightmare. Yes. I walked into my room and there were ants all over my bed, which is funny because there's no like open food. There's some like sealed. No,
they're food tricky in little here. Bastards. They just hate people.
I don't know why they're here.
They hate hot people.
Specifically,
actually.
All over my bed. I mean, the bed is next to the window. Yeah. And I have to assume that they came in through the window.
What have you done to like remedy it?
Well, so I had noticed a couple of ants before, like a week or two before. And so I had bought some like spray.
Yeah.
Like to spray
light that
around,
shit up.
You know?
Yeah.
But then they disappeared and I didn't see anymore. And I was like, oh, well. I guess I'm good. But then I came in to just ants all over, specifically only on the bed, though.
I'm so sorry.
Which, you know, arguably the worst place they could be. But
arguably. That happened to, like, it was on my bed. And I was like, are you shitting me right now? I spent 3 months up on our couch upstairs.
Well, because, that's like, too much for me.
They were in my room. Like, I'm terrified to enter my room now because it's, like, their time, you know? And I will honestly go insane.
Yeah. I thought I had solved. I put like coffee grounds on the outside of the window, like all on the window sill.
They hate mint too, like peppermint oil.
Yeah, I did coffee grounds, and then I used a little bit of salt. I felt like a fucking like witch something, like lining my window sill with salt, and I was like, okay, I guess. But I sprayed. I killed all of them that I could find.
Well, at least the only consolation is that they kind of go back to their hidey hole of doom at night. So hopefully, like, while you're sleeping, they'll be gone. And then if they need to have a reign of terror, it can just be during the day when you're at work or not in bed.
Well, at least there's that.
I sprayed
the crap out of, like, all around the window and even the, like, kind of baseboards just in case. I really think it's the window.
Bed. Yeah, that's terrible.
I'm like, for what?
And are you on like the first floor or like?
No, I'm on the second floor.
The fuck?
Why are you here?
They are so disgusting and tiny and easy to ruin your life.
I mean, I don't have like a fear of ants or anything.
No, like I don't have I just have a fear of like one being on my bed where I sleep.
I mean, it's not ideal. It's definitely not great.
Yeah. I mean, it's different than cockroaches. Like, I can handle ants. I just hate them and they make me angry. But like cockroaches, I would shit my pants.
We do have roaches in the kitchen, such as city life. But they're little and
friendly.
I haven't seen a ton lately.
Friendly neighborhood roaches,
traps and stuff. So
yeah,
there aren't too many of those anymore. But I mean, okay. But in Texas, I was living with roaches for a few years that were like inches long.
Industrial sized
roaches. Oh, and they could fly.
So
they would fly at my head.
Fly?
Yes. The scorpions showed up more at my like parents' like the kind of rural house.
Yeah.
Those we would get. And they've got really good pest control, so typically you didn't see them, but every once in a while they would get in. Those are the worst.
I can't imagine just because my mom has a friend in Arizona. And they just have scorpions. And I'm just like, can you imagine just walking? And I think in Florida, too. Or just snakes. My cousin's down there. And I just could not imagine walking outside or into a shower and being like, a scorpion.
You don't typically see them outside. I think they hide pretty well. Because you didn't normally encounter them.
That's
just like out and about. But you would, they'd be like on the wall or something. Or that one time that one could have fallen on my head because it was in the shower.
I was going to say, at your most vulnerable,
at my most vulnerable,
naked.
Literally naked, like, and afraid.
literally. Like, what do they want from you? Like, I just, the amount of times I've encountered spiders in the shower when I'm literally so vulnerable. Like, they know.
They do know.
They know.
The scorpions were bad, but they were at least pretty limited. The roaches were not an issue there. The roaches were an issue when I was living in Austin in the city.
Yeah.
Especially when I was on a first floor apartment. The second floor apartment was a little bit better. I dealt with those only occasionally. That apartment had other weird bug problems, though. There were like termites or flying ants or something that swarmed in through a hole in the floor one day. And there were so many that I vacuumed them up and then I never saw them again.
Oh my God.
So that was a weird one.
I had an
infestation of flies in that apartment for a few days. Yeah, that was really gross.
The theme is bugs suck. Because what?
I think I also had, have I talked about the ladybugs that follow me on this podcast before?
I feel like maybe
I'm but sure I have.
Not that enough.
Apartment also.
Let's shame ladybugs and those other kind of beetles.
No.
I hate the orange ones. Ladybugs.
I know
are fine.
You are you the one that has an issue with ladybugs because they swarmed your car?
It's the orange one. So the beetles
that look like ladybugs.
Yeah, they've killed all the ladybugs here, so we don't get ladybugs. We don't get the nice red ones. I had like a pet ladybug as a kid. Like I loved her. But no, they're just the nasty orange ones that smell and live on my car. Well, now we sold a car, so now I have room in the driveway to like our old van is moved, so now I don't have to park under the tree where they were like living on. And then I would like put my windshield on and they wouldn't die. They would just go onto my like. So I'd have my wipers on, and they would just go from the windshield to the hood, and then they would crawl back while I'm driving 50. I'm like, what the fuck do you mean? I'm like, get away from me.
Little demons.
They made me very angry. Yeah.
No, actual ladybugs are the ones that follow me. No. That well, I went from my apartment in Austin that I had a ladybug. Like, not infestation, but they just, for some reason,
there,
would show up inside the apartment. And I was like, how did you get in? Like, no other our bugs. Old house. I mean, at this point. No other bugs were coming in, just ladybugs. Mm-hmm. And then I had the same thing happen at home when I was living with my parents. Only my room, I would get ladybugs in there all the time. I am convinced that it's because when my sister and I were growing up, it was like this running theme. I was like the little ladybug and my sister was a busy bee because she was always running around. And so we would have matching, like we had raincoats that were like mine was a ladybug and the rain boots were ladybugs. Gotcha. And my sister had the bee version and we had like little necklaces and things. And I would get the ladybug and she would get the bee. And so I think that they recognize me as one of their own. I would gladly deal with a ladybug infestation here because they don't do anything.
They don't. No, I think we had in our old house when I was younger, my brother's room that I think was also mine for a time had like a porch and it was like a play porch, but that thing was full of ladybugs. But like I wasn't scared.
Vibe.
Yeah.
They're cute. Mm-hmm. You just kind of like they pick them up and take them outside.
They don't bite you and they don't smell like the
I think I thought I had gotten like bit by a ladybug once, but I bet it was one of those orange ones.
No, I don't think ladybugs bite. Because I saw someone on TikTok. She was like, I have a ladybug infestation, but it's fine because they're cute. And then people were like, honey, those are orange. Those are – they will they will die and smell and leave stains and bite you. And she's like, oh, shit.
And I'm like, those are the worst.
Yep. And those ones are an infestation. I'm just like, I just hate bugs, but I don't want the good ones to die. I just want the bad, annoying ones to get away from me.
I know. Yeah, I could really do without the ants. I'm like, I've already got roaches in the kitchen. Isn't this enough?
Yeah.
Haven't I been through enough?
You'd like to think we've been through it. As you guys may have noticed, we haven't been
through it.
Yeah.
We're down a grand total of 5 grandpas between the two of us.
Say what you want, but we can always win something. Some arbitrary contest, we can always win. We're winners. We stay winning. Yeah,
we stay winning.
Because that's a large amount.
It's a large amount.
Like, normally maybe 4, but 5, that's, I mean, that's a lot.
To be clear, my dad's biological dad died when he was 5. So, like, who knows? Family, I have learned over this past weekend that I went down to Alabama for that funeral. Fucking bonkers for no reason.
I didn't realize I was in Alabama.
It was the worst. Alabama's the worst. It was so moist.
I was gonna say moist and
it was so humid. It was already hot. I came back and was like, wow, thank goodness for New York. Like, I mean, it's rainy and overcast, but at least it's like 50 degrees.
Yeah,
there it was like 80 in the 80s and it was humid. And so, like, to the point where, I mean, granted, my aunt and uncle like to kind of leave. They have like a screened in patio and they like to leave the door open to the house. But like, I was humid indoors. I was moist at all times. Full offense to anyone listening who lives in Alabama. Why do you live there? It's an
moist
armpit.
At all times.
The armpit of the United States is the Deep South.
Yeah. I have only been south as in Florida, I think, and like Southern California, but I haven't. Florida. I know, we still have to do that too.
We can't.
We have to do two separate episodes. It has to be 15 and 15 or 16 and 15 or whatever.
Simply, there is a 0% chance I will be able to match Historical Romances to the songs on that album.
Oh, I've already started.
I don't have. That was the most depressing album.
See,
it's the opposite of a romance novel. It's just horrible relationships going badly.
I think we can do it with a broken heart.
Banger, not a book that I can, or a song that I can pair with a book, though.
I feel like, do I have one for that already? I listen to it so much now that, like, I've got, like, the small themes that I can, like, figure out for books rather than, like, I dated Maddie Healy and it ruined my life. Because, yeah, that's I challenge thee to find a historical romance with that.
I'm pretty sure I could, if I'm being entirely honest.
Technically, one of the ones that I'm going to recommend today, her sister has a tortured poet, and she's trying to save her from him. Let me see. No. Oh. I do have two choices for I Can Do It With a Broken Heart. So.
I have no faith in my ability on this album.
I have faith in you. The second half, I think, is going to be harder than the first half.
Because the second half only gets more depressing.
Yeah, it's the Aaron Dessner of it all.
The Aaron Dessner of it all.
Yeah, at least we've got a few in there that aren't, like, stabbing me in the face, but not too many.
Not many.
I know. I liked the first
half. Like, the Travis one really is the only one.
And I like I'm Gonna Get You Back, too. That one's fun. Shit's long. There's a lot.
Shit's long. So true.
But then, like, I didn't think, like, I liked it immediately more than Midnight's for me. But then I was like, it's still not, like, I'm still not a huge fan of it. And then I just kept listening to it because they just got stuck in my head. And now I'm obsessed with it. Oh my, the fuck was that? My dad's outside and he just whacked my window.
I thought it was a bird.
Thought it was a bird. I was like, oh my God.
Is that a bird? Is it a plane?
What's that from? I know that.
It's Superman. Come on now.
Because I don't know.
Is it a bird? Is it a plane? No, it's Superman.
Oh, it was my brain.
We got there.
It's tortured, guys. It's just too much.
We're not going to unpack this album right now because I'm sure we're going to spend 4 hours talking about
it. Well, that's why we got to either record the episode and then split it into two. Or just do it in two separate times
I have no faith.
Yeah. No.
I have very mixed feelings about it. That's okay. There are some bangers though. Down Bad just lives in my head at all times at this point. It worms its way into my little brain and then I'm just down bad crying.
Literally like that. But, exactly.
It's throwing ass but crying.
It's because I was like originally I told my friends I was like this I can't dance to this and what am I doing? It's awkward. But it exists.
Have you seen
and it is dancing.
All the I don't know if it's different people. It might be the same. Yeah. I think it might be the same account.
It is. And he like there's one where he like licks his like two fingers and he like puts them in his eyebrows and he's like
did see that.
He's hilarious.
I've liked every single video that has come across my feed. Too.
It's the same person just posting them all.
Yeah. But it's funny to me every single time.
Because that's exactly how it is listening to Down Bad. Or whatever song.
Guilty as Sin. Same thing. Yeah. Like,
I just love Post Malone so much. So
such a weird man.
He is. I just love how he's working with Beyonce, Taylor, just doing whatever
and
he
his
wants.
Beyonce, that song was my it's favorite my, song on that
yeah,
album.
Mine too.
The one with Post Malone.
Yep, mine too. And Fortnite is up
at
the top.
What a good album.
It is.
Cowboy Carter. Damn. Bangers. Mm-hmm. Okay. Welcome to Romance Your TBR.
It is us.
It's only
and
15
who are we?
Minutes into the episode.
I was going to say, who are we if we're not talking for 15 minutes before the start of the episode?
We got to banter our way into it.
Exactly.
Love a little banter. If you're anything like my mom, you can just skip through the opening banter.
Exactly. We have timestamps. They're stamping away.
Timestamps for a reason. We're Hannah and Caroline. That's Hannah. This is Caroline.
Didn't expect to hear you say my name. That was a adrenaline rush.
Not the panic. Yeah, I'm paying like, what? I'm nothing. What?
called out in school.
Yeah.
Feeling so high school.
Stop.
I can't. I can't do it. Okay.
I can. With a broken heart. Damn it. We got to stop with the references.
Yeah.
Welcome to Romancer TBR. We're back after 5 million weeks of hiatus.
I don't even know how long it's been.
I think... I don't know either. I do...
I'm not reading books.
I'm not reading a lot of books. I'm very busy also.
Yeah.
Like, post-move, I thought things would settle, but honestly, they have not.
Yeah. Well, because then you're in the office more, and you have more to do almost, so then...
I do. Yeah. I have a lot to do. So I do think we're probably going to switch to an every other week.
I like that.
I do newsletters on...
Well, the newsletters are nice, because they're kind of like a living... like journal entry of our recommendations, which I think is valuable in a different way than like a podcast episode. True. So you can like
some
go back
would
and
just
like,
rather go glance exactly at a list rather than listen.
Exactly. And you can technically, like, I think on the Substack app, do like narrate this newsletter, so you can like have it read it to you.
That's fun.
So you can sound, you can hear us talking to you even though we're not talking to you.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Truly let us invade your lives.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll probably do an alternating,
yeah,
a podcast episode and newsletter,
mm-hmm,
format moving forward. Although hopefully now that we've gotten post dead grandpa times, this is how I'm coping.
The two dualities, dead grandpa times and Malone. The two post dualities.
Okay.
That is
you
us.
Got me. You got me.
Yeah.
We're doing great.
We are.
Anyway, do you wanna?
Yeah.
What are we doing today?
So I realized that if you listen to this on Friday, Independent Bookstore is on Saturday, April 27th. I think it's like the last
Saturday
of April every year. And I'm getting together with my family, and we're going to, like, all the indie bookstores in Minneapolis, including Tropes and Trifles, which is, like, the new romance bookstore. Very excited. I think I was there before they did their, like, grand reopening, because they had it open for a short time. And so I was, like, I've been, like, making a list of books that I want to buy to, like, kind of keep myself in line. But also, I don't buy a lot of books anymore, so, like, I want to be intentional about the ones that I do have, just since I have, like, no room after I bought, like, 12 Nora Roberts books today. Did you know Morning Glory was a movie with Christopher Reeves?
The Liberal Spencer?
Yeah. I freaking found that at this used bookstore with the Christopher Reeves, the old Superman on it, and it was like now a major motion picture. I'm like, what do you mean?
So if I want to cry.
Yeah.
But like with a movie instead of a book.
Yeah. Apparently it's a thing. And it's Superman, so he's hot.
Oh, no.
I know.
This knowledge is too much power.
So, while you digest that.
And with great power comes great responsibility. Is that Spider-Man?
That's Spider-Man.
Yeah, but it's I'll a superhero.
It. I'll accept it, yeah. And so, I was like, why don't we do an episode of, like, books that we are, A, going to buy on Indie Bookstore Day, and then, B, books that you should add. Like, maybe we already own them or whatever. That you should buy or look out to buy on Saturday. So yeah. That's
so we've each got our grocery list of five books and your grocery list, listener, of five books.
Exactly.
Shopping list, not grocery. You get it. Whatever.
Yeah, they're groceries. We eat. They eat. These books eat.
That's so true.
Mm-hmm. They feed me. They feed my soul. Oh, I can't wait to go into bookstores. I love the smell of them.
I will not have time to go book shopping on Saturday. Dana and I are going to the F1 arcade in Boston.
That's fun. Ooh.
Yeah. Boston. Didn't realize how hard it is, or I should say how expensive it is to get from New York to Boston.
Is it? Ew.
It's like $200 Amtrak tickets round trip, like $100 each way. Why? For what, Amtrak?
Amtrak, anyway. You are on our enemy list.
Honestly, yeah. Mm-hmm. New nemesis.
New nemesis added. Amtrak, ants.
It's like the I watched this TikTok yesterday of oh, that's horrible news. Of these girls doing like the most unnecessarily hostile dating app bios.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're it's like satire. It's wildly out of, but they open with my new favorite thing, which is nice to swipe on you. It's me, your new enemy.
Honestly.
Which is how I'm going to start leading, I think. That's me at Amtrak. Anyway, let's get into it. Welcome to our book shopping list, Indie Bookstore Day Edition. Oh, my point was I don't have time to go to the stores, but I think I'm going to try to, like, bookshop.org or
yeah, I was going to say, like, I guess you're close to the Strand. I wonder if they do pickup orders. I know they normally, like, last year they did, like, a coupon, like, percentage off. I think, like, the Ripped Bodice, like, online does something or, like, because I think there
– most places do some kind of, like, order online.
Especially on Saturday. That's what my mom and I have been doing the past few years. It's just, like, online stuff. And, like, Powell's, I think, in Portland
has some. Yeah. I also I don't remember if I've seen if bookshop.org is doing anything, but
I think they it's probably – I think it's probably free shipping at least.
Yeah.
Or, like, something. 10%. Yeah. I'm sure, and then, like, I have Libro FM is, like, doing promotions, and they're just, like, audiobooks that support indie bookstores and stuff. So there are lots of ways to do it besides just, like, going into stores and everything.
Indeed.
So that is what this episode is going to be about. 20 minutes into it.
God. Worst.
Okay. Well, I can start with – do we want to, like, alternate for the shopping lists?
Yeah. Okay. I think keep it short and sweet.
Yeah. I mean, most of these I've already talked about.
Exactly.
I feel like. I mean, the first one that I put with no questions asked was Hey There and the Prince, because I can't wait to get my hands on it. I've, like, I think I've seen it on Pango Books, but I'm like, no, I want to, like, go to the store and buy this book. Like, so. I need to have that experience. So I'm very excited for that one. It was so good. I reread it. I reread the audiobook, and it was even better. The narrators were great. So recommend it all the way around. Like, God, what a good book. And it's so pretty, too. Love the green. Oh, yeah. Also, these are books that, like, I like the covers. Because, like, if a book's ugly, even if I like it, I don't need to own it. Because, that's like, so sorry.
Facts. Top of my list is a book that I haven't actually finished yet. I started reading it yesterday, but it's How to End a Love Story.
Oh, that one.
By Yulin Kwong. I started the audiobook. I know you can't, but I started the audiobook. And as someone who doesn't care about what tense, POV, et cetera, it is in,
people care and not care, turns out.
Listen, do whatever you want. I do not care at all. Mm-hmm.
I'm jealous.
Whatever.
Yeah. I wish.
You know,
I've heard great things about
is.
That one.
Yeah, I have two. She's everywhere, which of course she is.
Yeah, because she's directing.
The screenwriter. Yeah.
Screenwriter of Beat Reed.
Yeah. So the book is movie. Also she. I tuned into. I helped, like, coordinate this Barnes & Noble live with Kennedy Ryan and her, and they, like, chatted about each other's books, and so most of that conversation was because Kennedy's books are also there's a screen adaptation in progress for those. Yeah. And so most of the conversation was them talking about, like, the book to screen process. And so the book is also about the heroine is an author who's in the writing room as a screenwriter helping or, you know, working on her books being adapted for screen. And then the hero is.
And that's such a fun premise.
Also working on it as a screenwriter. Yeah, but he is. You find out in, like, the prologue, first chapter, whatever, that her younger sister, when they went to high school together, and her younger sister committed, trigger warning, committed suicide by throwing herself in front of his car.
Oh, yeah. I saw someone.
So she, like, blames him, essentially, for her. Yeah. So definitely content warnings. It's a really heavy premise. But I'm also, like, I kind of love when authors really commit to doing something like that, because it's, like, how can you possibly, like, you don't have to just forgive and work with somebody who you know logically is not responsible for your sister's death but is still the vehicle by which I didn't mean to, I swear. I really promise I
She's
was not trying to
sin,
do that
guys.
I am guilty as sin, but the still how, like, brought about her death, like, it's like a Sherry Thomas level of, like, how, or a Lorraine Heath even, of like, how are these two yeah. people going to get past that? So I'm very mm-hmm. intrigued to see where it goes. And I really like the cover, and it's pink.
Yes, it is pink.
So I talked too long about that one, but I'm intrigued by it.
My villain origin story is...
You can't even, like, not do the audiobook and just read with
no,
your eyes.
No, I think audio is worse. I think I can handle, like, if I...
No, that's what I mean. Like, if you just read with your eyes instead.
If I... Yeah, I could probably do it. Like, if
I'll finish it and
like,
then you know
read
if you
it and if you like it, yeah. Because it's, like, there was also, like, the part of it being, like, that angsty to where I'm, like, is it going to be for me? So, but, yeah, if
it's
you like
say.
It, I think, yeah.
I've heard also people complaining about the audiobook because... They said it's, like, really meta, and I'm like, okay, but I love meta things. I love a meta. Like, it feels like – I can't explain – because I haven't experienced it myself, so I'm mm-hmm. not, like, 100% sure on what mm-hmm. they're talking about. My understanding was that it, like – it feels like it's written by a screenwriter. Like,
oh, yeah.
There are the layers of, like, this could be written for screen, but
mm-hmm. –
Or, like, you know, sense. The self-referential.
Well, that's how I feel. Like, that's what I feel like third-person present is. I feel like I'm reading a script. Like, it's, like, I feel like I'm, like, seeing something be directed to someone else to do. Like, it just feels – because that's how you know, like, back cover copy is. Like, it's normally third-person present. Mm-hmm. Like, it just gives a different feeling in my brain that I just – it's a hard time for me getting past. But, like, if I was reading in a movie script, like, I could – it does a different thing.
Sure. See, I don't mind that. I actually really like that, like, added layer.
I can
and then also
that,
it's again it's like an author adapting her book to screen so I think as I get deeper into it there's gonna be mm-hmm. more with that so
yeah
anyway
no I've heard good things about that one. My next one is what's the author, it's We Got the Beat, it's like a sapphic YA one, it takes place in Minnesota. I know, we got also makes me want to sing. Who is the author? I met her at Steamy Lit.
Oh.
Yeah, and it was Jenna Miller. And I was like, cause one of her like promo cards had like hot dish, like tater tot hot dish. And I was like, are you a Minnesotan? I like, walked up to her. I was like, I spy this. And she's like, yes.
I spy.
Well, because I was like,
one
I was, like,
of
I...
us. One of us.
No, literally. So I went up to her. I was like, are we like twins? And so then her book, I don't think, had come out yet. So I was waiting for the audiobook. It came out in like February, but I just read it recently. One character, she's a volleyball player. And then the other one is they're in high school. So a volleyball captain and then a journalist for the school newspaper. And she wanted to be like the head editor, but she got put on the sports beat. And so she has to like go to all the volleyball games and like write about the captain especially, but they were like friends and now they're not. And underlying emotions and stuff. And so it was very good.
Emotions.
I know. And so I'm hoping they either have like signed copies of Tropes and Trifles, or I'm just going to pick one up because I know she's going to be either at Steamy Lit again or the one in Wisconsin that I'm going to with Kylie in September. So either way.
Oh, speaking of Kylie, number one shout out. She was in the city.
Oh, yeah,
the
yeah,
city.
Yeah.
She came to New York, and we got lunch, and I talked her ear off about Formula One. Got a picture together. It was very cute. And while I'm doing shout-outs, number two is, I believe her name was Bianca, who I met at the Faded Mates Live.
Yeah.
But it's been so long since we've recorded an episode, and I'm so sorry if I'm getting your name wrong. You know who you are, if that is the case.
You know who you are.
I'm really terrible with names, so I tried to hang on to that one, but I make no promises. But I went to the Faded Mates Live podcast recording, and I've been recognized for, like, my TikToks or Instagram where people are like, oh, I follow you. This was the first time somebody ever came up to me and said, oh, hey, I listen. You don't know me, but I listen to your podcast. And I was like, oh, that's never happened to me before. Why? I think that is actually what I said. I said, why? But we have a picture together. So I'll try to post it like on Friday or Saturday on our stories. Because that was so fun and you were so nice. And if ever you see at least me in public, but I assume you too, although people recognize your face a little bit less. But if you do recognize us, you can always come say hi. That was
exactly.
Great.
Exactly. I know so I fun. Had – I don't know if she'll – I think her mom told her to listen to this podcast. I was at
– This is an interesting podcast recommendation choice for a mom.
I know. I was at – my grandpa's celebration of life, downer of a start, but my aunt's friend must have recommended me to the friend's daughter because, like, I think she's like 23 or something, so around our age. And she followed me and I didn't know because it was like a private, like, personal account. And so then her mom comes up because she wasn't there. Her mom comes up and is like, oh, my daughter, blah, 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 follows you. So then I went and followed her back and she was like, and then someone was saying about a podcast and I was like, yeah, it's like in my bio. I'm like, you shouldn't listen to it. But I think she also, because they're in like a book club. So I think she probably reads like some romance too. And I was like, oh my gosh, I was taken aback. And so that was exciting, even though it was not a random, I guess, stranger, but I didn't know her.
That's still fun. So,
it was.
I, meanwhile, was trying to actively keep my conservative Catholic brother from finding the podcast. It came up in conversation and I said something about my Substack came up and I was like, oh, we use that for our, like, podcast newsletter. And he was like, you have a podcast? And I was like, yes. And he was like, what about? And I was like, what do you think it's about?
Formula One, bro.
Yeah. slowly but surely. No, historical. Mm-hmm. But then he didn't think to look at my Instagram bio or anything like that to see where it would be listed. Good. He just went on Spotify and started searching for romance podcasts, which you're not finding us.
Hey guys, in the top. We are the co-hosts of Faded Maids, didn't you know?
Yeah. So I think he got distracted before he got even close to finding it. But it made me laugh because if he had just gone to my Instagram, it's linked in the bio.
Love that for us.
I avoided that, though. I was like, oh, God, please do not find it.
Yeah, no, we don't need that.
That's...
Don't put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
Exactly.
My family does not
Speaking of Ricky Bobby, my next recommendation...
Thank God.
Or my... Sorry, on my shopping list is a love song for Ricky Wilde.
Ooh. So, have I heard of the same. Before?
Ballad of Ricky Bobby, love song for Ricky Wilde... Not even a little bit similar in premise or tone.
Oh, this one, yeah.
The titles are similar.
By Tia Williams.
I'm sorry, like, were you done with...
Yes, I was. Yeah, that other one? I feel like that ended like 5 minutes ago and we were just talking.
Well, I cut you off because you mentioned Kylie and I didn't.
Snip, snip, snip. We're good. I forgot this name. Definitely sounds familiar, yeah.
Yes, by Tia Williams. This was a banger. I think I still preferred 7 Days in June, but this cover is so gorgeous.
It is. Ooh, there's magical realism in it.
It is magical realism. So she moves from her terrible family. She, like, it's like a funeral home dynasty, weirdly on brand. For
I was going to say, like, there have been a lot of books about death and shit, and I'm like, peace.
You know, it is what it is. But she loves
play
flowers.
About us? Is this play about us?
She loves flowers, so this, like, older woman, like, kind of shows up in her life and is like, oh, like, I have this, I think it's, like, a brownstone in Harlem that if you want to, like, use the lower level or whatever. Basically, she moves to Harlem and opens a flower shop, and this woman that she doesn't know is, like, this kind of older lady that has kind of become, like, her grandma now. And then this guy starts showing up around the leap year, but, like, only...
It's a leap year book?
It's a leap year book, and he has... I can't really... It's hard to explain the premise of this book without spoiling anything. But I will say he is not from this time and place.
Adding it to my list.
And he is a pianist...
More musicians.
There is there are like a couple of really sexual scenes involving a piano, which is just interesting that it happened twice. And she and this like older woman, who content warning, does pass away towards the end of the book, but you kind of get the sense that that's gonna happen. But it turns out their lives are more intertwined, along with this guy.
Oh my God, that's so fun. Okay.
It is really, really well written. Tia Williams is fantastic.
It seems like something that would just like I could get lost in.
Yes. I really enjoyed the audiobook.
I'm picking books right now to read. My body hurts.
Nice. It's very atmospheric.
Yeah, that's and just like given the cover too. Like it just looks very
The cover matches the vibes very well. So
amazing. That's a good one. What's my next one? Oh yeah, this is just kind of a throwaway one, but I do need to pick up The Witch Queen of Halloween by Cressley Cole. Just because I know Tropes and Trifles, I believe, is like the only place in the cities I'll be able to like get a physical copy. So if I see it, I want to grab it. Because I own all the books I like in that series. I don't own the ones I don't like because I think they would just harm me in my sleep. I think they would just like find me.
They would actually sick ants on you in your sleep.
Yes. Yeah. So
you would
I
wake up with ants on your bed and you would be like, Cressley!
Literally. Quite literally. So I need to pick that one up and I'll let you go for your next one. I thought I had other ones, but it's just the one I wrote.
Mine is also kind of a cheat, this next one. Yeah. And that is The Roommate Risk by Talia Hibbert, which is not a new book.
Yeah.
But it's been rejacketed.
It's been rejacted and re-narrated. Because the narrator
to the ALC.
Was geriatric. He sounded so old. The old one.
I didn't like the old white guy.
I believe. Probably. He's an old white guy who narrated it. And so I get why they're re-narrating, thank God. I saw that coming on NetGalley too, and I was like, fuck yeah. Because the book was so good.
It's a great audiobook.
It's so good. And like, I got lost in the narration that I think I gave it like 4 stars, but I'm going to download because I think I have like read nows from Dreamscape. And I'm so excited to re-listen to it with like hot people.
It was, and it's also guy, like, it's dual narration.
Yeah,
and, like,
that book was so good.
They do the accents really because hers is kind of like she has the sort of proper like standard British accent, but then slips into another one kind of when she drinks or when she gets emotional, whatever. So and that's ready. Always fun for me as an American to hear the different.
Yeah, and I like the new cover. It's a really good.
I really like
cover.
The new cover. So that's my. I know you can get it on bookshop.org, and since that's probably what I'm. Going to be doing anyway. I would like to acquire a copy, but I saw it come up on NetGalley and I listened. That was the first time I had read The Roommate Risk was when it came up on there, and I went ahead and snagged the ALC and it was a banger.
I don't know if I read it last year or the year before, but like it was a sleeper book, kind of like I think The Duke Who Didn't, which is another one that I want to buy at Tropes and Trifles if they have it, because like that's another like indie one. That like I was kind of like going along with it, and then all of a sudden I was like, oh my god, I love them so much.
I just like in Talia Hibbert, we trust. Yeah, like I knew that it was gonna be a banger.
It's not gonna be bad because she's hilarious.
She's so funny. This one isn't as funny as some of her other books, I don't think, but it did still have that like narrative.
If you want
charm.
A guy who's just straight up obsessed,
oh, he's so down bad. He is crying at the gym because he's going to the gym multiple times a day.
Yep. God, okay, yeah, I need to reread that. Maybe I should just do that because I know that's good and I wanted to listen to the new one anyway.
Oh my god, wait, Down Bad is actually his song.
Mm-hmm.
Because they like
I fucking love
fucked
that song.
Once when they were in college and then she was like, you can either be my friend or you can fuck me. And he was like, well, I'm going to be your friend.
Okay. Oh god, I love it.
Oh, he is Down Bad crying at the gym. Wow. It's all coming together.
She beamed him up on her ship.
She did.
Yeah, okay. That's a great one. The next one is one just because the cover is so good and the book inside is Earl's Trip by Jenny Holiday. It just came out yesterday as we're recording this. One, I love the illustrated cover. It's so bright and fun and green and pink. But two, this book made me cry very dramatically and I did not expect it because basically it starts off like they're childhood friends, but then they kind of go their separate ways and they don't really think about each other. And then in the meantime, she's being courted by this tortured poet. And then,
of course.
Of course.
Aren't we all?
He's a terrible person.
Aren't they all?
In his Jehovah's Witness suit. And,
we're so annoying.
Yeah, I'm so sorry if you don't like Taylor Swift. You probably don't like us, and that's well within your means, because, like, within your rights, because I understand.
I can't even blame you.
No. So, and then it turns out that her sister, her younger sister, ends up eloping with him. And she's like, hell no, he's bad. That's going to be terrible. And so the guy, this Earl, he's going on an Earl's trip with his two friends because they get together each year. They're all Earls.
So silly. They're all Earls.
It's like the Hangover. They are. Like, they're all Earls. They're all kind of, there is kind of another tortured poet in their group. And
it's
they're
the
just
importance
so nice.
Of being Earl.
The next book is called Manic Pixie Dream Earl.
Slay.
Slay. And they're just, like, really wholesome men who are just lovely. And then they get this letter and they're so excited to go to this Earl's trip. And then he's like, oh, damn, I have to go save her. And he's like, oh, if you guys don't want to come, it's fine. They're like, no, we got you. We're going to come. We love you. So they go find her. She ends up shooting him non-fatally. Sure.
Of course.
So he gets shot.
You had to clarify non-fatally as if this is not a romance novel.
It could be a ghost man.
So true.
But yeah, so he gets shot pretty soon within the start of the book, which I loved. I had such a great time. And then they're just kind of on this road trip. Like, they go to someone's estate and just have a good old time. And then his mother has, like, early dementia or something, so trigger warning for that, definitely. But the end literally made me sob my pants off. But it was so good. It was so cute and funny and fun. And because I had read, like, the excerpt that they posted on NetGalley, like, last year. And then I was, like, refreshing and constantly waiting for them to, like, upload the full book. And then when they did, I was like, I'm hopping on that train. And it did not disappoint. And the audiobook, I think, comes out May 7th. So I have to wait a
little
bit.
I was just looking for the audiobook because I was...
Yeah.
That's actually my other cheat on this list because I haven't read it yet. But it is one that I would totally go pick up. So that's... You've covered the next one on my shopping list as well, because.
What?
Are you good?
What's your next one?
Earl's Trip.
Oh.
That was my cheat for, like, one that I hadn't actually read, but I was going to go.
Oh, okay. I was like, what did I do?
You lost something. No, you covered that. Okay. That was also on my list, so.
Okay, perfect.
Check that box.
Yeah. Hell yeah. That was a really good one. And I bet the audiobook's going to be really good. I don't know who's narrating it, but. Something tells me it's going to be a banger. The next one is one we both read, Any Duke in a Storm. I, like, got an email from Sourcebooks asking me if I wanted a finished copy, and then my grandparents died.
That'll do it.
And I just didn't respond. And so I'm like, I think I'm just going to buy it. I don't feel like responding now.
Fair.
With, like, hi, it's me. I'm the problem. But I do want to own that one because I love the cover, but also the book is so good. And I have the other ones in the series, so I need to make a finished set, truly, and then I'll get Amelie to sign it. Oh yeah, because we have the arcs, but I want Amelie to sign, like, the finished copy when we see her again. What a good book.
True. My last one is, unfortunately, Funny Story by Emily Henry, because I can't not.
You don't
not...
have it yet?
I listened to the audiobook.
Oh, I thought you, like, pre-ordered it or something.
No, I... wasn't sure how I was gonna like this one. It ended up being, like, four
I'm
stars.
I'm interested about your thoughts. Oh, sorry, my body is just aching.
Loved it. Like, yeah. I'm one of those people that I don't know that Emily Henry can write a book that I don't like.
Yeah, that's me with Sally Thorne. I get you.
Yeah, just, like, something about her writing. Yep. So this one, I don't know that it's my least favorite. I would have to revisit, I think, Happy Place, because that's the one that I know the least.
Yeah.
I think I reread all three of the other ones, and that one I only read the once. And I also have the audiobook for that one, and I want to – because I read the digital arc of Happy Place, and I want to go back and listen to the audiobook of Happy
Place.
If
there's one thing Julia Whalen's going to do is put her entire Julia Whalen pussy.
Her
Julia Whalen-ussy.
Yes. I posted on my – which if you follow me, you probably saw. I posted on my Instagram story when I was listening to this book, and I said, is he hot? Or is Julia Whalen just doing her MMC voice?
Me
and
with freaking
I have Mary never gotten so many responses on an Instagram story before. The sheer – it was like me – you know when you swipe up to look at who's viewed your stories? I was scrolling through the people who had, like, liked or responded to it. And then I was getting countless DMs. Almost every single DM was just someone saying both. It's both. And I respect that. Miles is not for me. He's a lovely male main character.
Stoner who wears Crocs.
Yes. He's not, like, a stone. I mean, at the beginning of the book, he's in a rough place and he is smoking a lot of weed. He doesn't really smoke throughout the rest of the book. I'm just, like, very unattracted to people who smoke weed.
I have some college memories that come up with that make me viscerally
itchy. I just, like, I really don't like the smell of weed. Like, I don't like being around any kind of smoke, so that is a big turnoff for me. The Crocs, not great, but I can work with it.
Yeah.
He's a bartender at a winery. Or, like, because they're comfortable for service workers.
Oh, I guess.
I had a lot of coworkers when I worked at Half Price Books that all wore Crocs because they said they were the most comfortable shoes.
I could definitely see it at Half Price. I guess the depends on the winery. The winery.
It makes sense. Look, it all makes sense in the book. But admittedly, his personality is really hot.
I saw someone say that it's like the closest to Beach Read. How do you feel about that? Because I liked Beach Read is the only one that I really like. Like, I liked that one a lot. So I've been debating on reading this one.
I mean, I guess in the sense that it's like forced proximity and – well, but Happy Place was also forced proximity in a fake relationship, and that's what this one is too. I really, really liked it. It didn't – the only reason it was, I would say, 4 instead of 5 stars for me was just because every other Emily Henry book I've read has slapped me in the face and called me ugly and made me sob. And this one, I, like, teared up a little bit at one point just out of, like, oh, the whole town is, like, helping with this thing or whatever. But, like, it didn't have the same emotional weight for me. And I think that that is fine. And there's always going to be some books that just don't hit you personally the way that they do for other people.
Basically, every anticipated read of this year for me has gone. I'm like, what is happening? And the ones that I'm not anticipating are just kind of, like, sleeper books are, like, the ones that I give 5 stars.
Something about
I'm like, what is this? Witchcraft.
Yeah.
So kind of piss me off, to be honest.
I'll probably buy myself a copy of that. I'm debating if I'm actually going to get a copy, though, or if I'm going to wait until next year when it comes out in trade paper.
Unless you do have some in hardcover?
I do have. So I left most of my Emily Henry. So I brought my trade paper Emily Henry books with me when I moved. I left.
Beach Read. Was not the one you didn't
see. Yeah. I bought a new copy of it. It's fine. But I left. I have all of the UK editions of those books. Those are pretty. And then the Happy Place hardcover, UK and US. Yeah. And I left all of those at home and then just bought the trade paper Happy Place when it came out. So I'll probably.
Did she do like signed Happy Places? Is that.
Yeah, I think I got a signed one. I think I'm not positive on that, though. I know I got a signed Book Lovers. I think I got a signed.
Maybe it was Book Lovers.
I think it was that one. I have some signed stuff from her. Yeah. So this one I don't feel as strongly about. So I probably will get myself a copy just because I have all of them. Yeah. At the very least, I'll ship it to my home.
Also, I just am obsessed with the color schemes of them all and like how they look together. They look Someone had a bookmark that was like a color strip, you know, like a paint strip. And it had like all the different colors of the covers. And I was like, okay, I'm kind of obsessed with that.
I do really like the like out of print merch that they did for this book. It's really
I'm looking at your books or my Happy Place tote.
My Happy Place tote. I got that one for free, but I felt weird still being in that like influencer program once I got my full-time gig. So I didn't like apply to be in it again, but I do really like their merch. It's very cute.
It is. As a non Emily Henry stan, I am also fighting with my inner demons to buy the totes and stuff.
It's a really cute bag.
I know. I've been debating because I've had the ARC or like the ALC of this one, I think for a few months. And I'm just like, if I don't like it, I just don't want to read it. But I'm like,
it's really hard for me to gauge which Emily Henrys you're going to like. And I mean, it's a really funny premise. I also do respect that. So they moved in together after her fiance.
Which is fun. It's like was it Shania Twain who did that?
I don't even know. But her fiance left her. And
ex got together and then she started dating, I think, with Shania.
Slay. He left her for Miles's girlfriend, who is his like childhood best friend. And they left together.
That's a fun premise. That's what gets me. Is that
So they like move in together and then they get the wedding invite from those two and they get so drunk, she gets like blackout drunk. And Miles is basically like, we should RSVP to the wedding. And she's like, no. And then he's like, no, I guess you're right. And she's like, actually, let's do it. So they get blackout drunk. They sing Witchy Woman a lot. They RSVP to the wedding. And then the next day, her ex calls her and is such a little condescending shit. And is like, I just like, you don't have to come if you don't want to. Like, especially because you're going to be there alone. And she's like, I'm not going to be there alone. And he's like, well, you did an RSVP for a plus one. And she's like, that's because he got his own invite. And like word vomits out this fully formed lie that she and Miles are dating, and her ex always really hated Miles. And when she goes to Miles to like confess this horrible, grievous sin that she has committed, and he's like, "That's fucking hilarious. Let's do it."
Written mine on her upper thigh.
He has. He really has. But he's like, "That's fucking hilarious." I love it. And I respect that it's not like an agony ridden, like, oh my God, he's like, bet.
Yeah. Well, that's like, that's the turn of thing that I like. It's just when they just are like, yeah, sure. There's not much drama to like things that you would expect resistance to.
Anyway, well, we've talked too long.
I may or may not read that.
I feel like if you have the ALC.
I know.
It's Julia Whalen.
I know. I know.
How bad can it be?
I mean, honestly, if I made it through Happy Place, which was not for me, this one sounds like it's more for me than that. And I read Happy Place. So at this point, why not? So, yeah, I think I'd wait till I don't even think I have the Happy Place because, again, like, I do love the covers and spines, so I do have to buy Happy Place. But I'll probably get that one on Pango with some of my credit. And I'll probably wait for Funny Story until the soft cover as well. Mm. So, yeah, I think that's, like, all.
Yeah. So those are our shopping lists.
Yes.
Now we have your shopping lists.
Yeah.
For books that we already own, but.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You need something to buy at an indie bookstore on Saturday. Oh, you could buy these.
That is exactly.
I can go first.
Hell yeah.
First of all, The Catch, Amy Lee. Can't go wrong.
Thank God you said that. I didn't have it on my list.
Because can't go wrong. I mean, I still think X's and O's is my favorite. I haven't read the first one, but X's and O's.
Banger. That one's my least favorite.
That's generally what I hear from people.
Yeah. I think if I was rereading it, I would like it more just because now I have like this emotional attachment to Amy Lee.
That's fair.
And it was still a good book. I gave it 4 stars.
Sure.
I think it maybe 3.5 rounded up. But there's just a little bit more miscommunication and like forced tension that just didn't quite make sense in that one. Whereas these last two have just been.
They hit.
So good.
Bangers.
So good. And she's gotten progressively hotter, I feel like.
Yeah, this was like sexy Hallmark.
It was. It was exactly sexy Hallmark.
He's a hot lobster fisherman in Canada. Come on now.
Yeah. In the poutine. I have a strong attachment to like melted cheese on fried things.
That's so fair. Yeah. Deeply relatable content coming at you.
Yeah, so that one triggered something very.
That's so fair.
Emotional.
Me. Yeah, the Catch, that was a banger.
Yes, that was. That was a really good book. I feel like I have a lot of Berkeley books just because I read a lot of Berkeley books. Because this next one for me is also a Berkeley one, and that's The Kiss Countdown by Etta Easton. One, the cover is a banger. Spaceships, pink, beautiful, black romance. Love it. It's just the cover. It's so good. Look at that.
I know. I've seen it.
Oh, so good. I was sent this book a couple months ago. Nope, a month ago. And it was really good. It's like fake dating. It's just the perfect, like, low angst fake dating situation. She's basically like in this coffee shop and her ex is there with a new girlfriend. And she's run into this like handsome stranger a few times. And she doesn't like get the greatest vibes from him. But when push comes to shove and your terrible ex is in this coffee shop, what do? You say, oh my gosh, yes, I'm actually dating this guy. And then the ex is like, oh, what do you do for work? And he's like, I'm an astronaut. And the ex is like, oh, you're not an astronaut. Oh.
It's times like these. I really wish we were using the video recording because mine does that.
Astronaut. Did I do something with my hands?
I think you did a thumbs up. I think it's God. Like.
I thought they heard me say astronaut and it was like fireworks.
No, for our listeners. Hannah just did. I think it was the thumbs up. You know how like the iPhone. Yeah, it was. It just did it again. And her video screen did a bunch of fireworks.
It did.
You know, like how the iPhones do that mm-hmm. on FaceTime now, where it'll be like a thumbs up.
Which is so weird.
Pops up.
It does it.
Confusing.
When we're on Google Meets for work, and it'll randomly do like the thumbs up. It'll do like a bunch of thumbs up emojis like everywhere, which is also very odd. So that happened. I'll see if I can like get that clip and we can post it in our stories or something.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Honestly, fireworks immediately when he was like, yeah, I'm an astronaut. And she's like, wow, he's hot and he's an astronaut. Like, I'm kind of obsessed. And then it was just the great moment of like her being like, okay, is this dude lying about being an astronaut? Like, he didn't need to lie. And he whips out his NASA badge and is like, clock me. It was great. And then, so she gets through with that.
Of the things dudes could whip out, NASA badge is pretty cool.
Literally. And then his sister, I think, walks in. And so then they have to be like, oh, yeah, we're dating. And then she, like, invites her to their, like, family cabin. And he's like, okay, this is actually a win-win because my family, like, keeps telling me that I have to get married and stuff. So we're just going to, like, pretend to date to get them off my back. And then they're just, like, having the sexual tension all over that little cabin. And it was really good. And I just love fake dating. Even in contemporary, I know people don't like it. I am obsessed with it. It's just so fun every time. So read that one and buy it because it's beautiful.
I am just realizing my list is only four. I think that you emailed me the invite to record before I found a fifth book. And so now I'm like, oh, shoot.
Well, I have no trouble talking, so.
I know. It might just be that I only provide four. I'm so sorry.
And that is okay.
The Marquis Who Mustn't. This one's a little tricky because it's indie. So it can be hard to find. But I'm 98% sure you can get it on bookshop.org.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. And if not, I got mine at the Rip Bodice. So I'm sure you could, like,
Tropes and Trifles, I believe, will have it in Minneapolis. And there are, like, more romance bookstores popping up.
Yeah. Elsewhere. So I believe in your ability to find it. And me Courtney too. Milan, you beautiful, beautiful, radiant motherfucker, you.
That's a fireworks moment. I really need that audiobook to come out.
I've really got nothing to add. You know how you, listener, know how we love The Duke Who Didn't. The Marquis Who Mustn't, I was like, I don't know. It's just not as, like, fun as The Duke Who Didn't. Mm-hmm. Like, the premise isn't as fun. It's more serious. I don't know. And then halfway through, I was crying. And I was like, what's happening? And it was delightful. And I was crying about my relationship with my mom. What was happening? I don't know, but it was a banger. Mm. Courtney Milan, you can do no wrong.
And it's just a great cover, too.
It's a great cover. And it's Chinese characters in historical romance. Love.
Banger. Oh, yeah, because the first one was, like, a really tight father-daughter relationship. Ugh. Okay. Enough of the emotions. The next one is another banger of a cover. It's One Dangerous Night by Kathy Maxwell. I think Avon sent it to me. Maybe last month, and it was fantastic. I read it last year, I think even before winter. So I read it a long time ago, and I've waited for my moment to talk about it because the cover's so pretty. Like, the only reason I read it was because the cover was just gorgeous. And basically, I started reading the arc, and then I immediately started book one because this is book two. So, like, I got probably, like, 30% in because I was at, like, an outdoor concert, like an orchestra concert. And it was so good. And then I was like, well, maybe I should go back and read book one because I'm loving this. And book one was not as good. I'm loving it. Because, like, the little sister in book one is the heroine in book two. And I definitely did not like her a lot in book one. So I'm happy that I was already, like, emotionally attached to her in book two because she was a little bit of a little pest in book one. But book two was so fun. She basically, like, storms off because she is in love, or in quotation mark love, with her sister's new husband because she thought she was gonna marry him. And so then she just, like, storms off and ends up going on this, like, mail coach, and there's this hot stranger who has, like, long hair and doesn't look like anything much. And then the carriage or the mail coach crashes. There are the only two people on it, and then the two drivers or whatever have died. And then she's got to, like, rescue this dude who, like, protected her. He, like, put his arm around her. She's just, like, I owe him a life debt. She drags him out. And then they just immediately start bickering. Like, they just at each other's throats. Like, yes, they save each other, but they're also kind of, like, angry that they did because they're just clashing. He is a duke who kind of had his little I'm done with society moment, and he's, like, trying to, like, live off the land and not use his duke money because he's going through it. He's trying to, like, reform himself, so he's being a little dramatic, and then she's being dramatic
a little. I'm gonna live off the land.
Yes,
aristocrat. Yeah.
So he literally
I can say aristocrat. Aristocrat.
And so they're both just very emo going through it. He thinks she's, like, a little maid. She's, like, a lady. Or, like, landed gentry or something. And then he is a duke. She thinks he's just like some stable boy or something. So it's like hidden, mistaken. Oh my god, is that an ant?
An ant. It ran into the my first makeup ant. Container.
The first ant of our 2024 podcast made an appearance.
I don't know if I got it or if it just ran deeper into my makeup case.
Ugh.
Oh well.
Yossified ant. And so basically they're just like fighting each other. And then she has this glorious moment where it's like that Tangled meme of Finn just kind of sitting on the rock and then what's her name just like laying in the field just like done. She has a moment where she gets like stuck in this like net and then she just like freaks the hell out. She's just like flailing her body and screaming and stomping and like losing her mind, and he's just kind of there just like watching it. And then she kind of just like ends that, stands up, brushes herself off, and then walks away. And honestly, it gave me everything I needed. It was a lot of fun. And that's another one I paired for Torture Poets when I was going through things. Do I remember it? No. But that one, it was, and the cover so good. And it was just so fun. And I'm reading the audiobook right now, so I'm rereading it. And it's just as good. So there's that.
I'm cheating once again and recommending a book that I worked on. So standard disclaimer, in case you're somehow listening to this for the first time and didn't know that I work for Forever, the other one that I'm gonna recommend is also a Forever book, but I'm not the marketer on it, so it's like whatever. This one I was one of the marketers on, so like I straight up was paid to tell people to read this book. However, I'm telling you right now that even if I wasn't paid to tell people to read this book, I would tell you to read this book. And that is This Could Be Us by Kennedy Ryan. Number one New York Times bestseller. This Could Be Us by Kennedy Ryan. Because I love her. And that book is a banger. It's a non-traditional kind of romance format, I would say, where she spends a lot of the book self-partnering. But he's just so obsessed with her from the beginning, so but they can't really be – he, like, put her terrible husband in prison, as one does when they're embezzling a lot of money. And he's like, I want you to work on yourself as much as you need to, and I will just be here to support you in any way that I can while you're going on this journey. And that is so hot.
That is.
A banger, truly. Also,
this is reminding me why I like to read. I've kind of lost the plot here for a little bit.
I've also lost the plot.
Me just not reading.
It's rough out here.
It is.
Rough out here running.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, look at that time.
Bookish podcast when you're not reading books.
Yeah. That's why the newsletter is fun, because you just can like sit down and like think of like tropes. And it's just so much easier doing trope lists like that than like an episode of like us having to limit ourselves and they end up being so long.
It's true.
All of that. Oh, I need to read both that book and then the first one. Are they related or they just have the similar covers?
No, they are. It's like a friend group.
Great. Amazing. Love that for me and people who have to still read it, like me. My brain kind of stopped there for a second. That's okay. The next one, when did I read this? Back in February. It was At First Spite by Livia Dade. And this is, I think, only the second book by Livia Dade that I read, but I loved it. I wasn't a huge fan of the first one that I had read. But this one was so good. Like, it's if you liked The Worst Best Man by Mia Sosa, or at least, like, the setup of that one, this is, like, very similar. Because basically, she is engaged to this kind of douchebag. And then she had never met his brother before. And at her engagement party, she's like chatting up this handsome stranger. And she's like, wow, this was a really good conversation. And then she realizes that it's her fiance's brother. And she's like, well, that's awkward because I don't really like you that much. Because I think the fiance always used the brother as like an excuse or something. And so she doesn't really like him. And then she like overhears him insulting her and saying that they shouldn't get married. And then they end up like breaking up. So then she is not married anymore, but she ends up buying like a spite house, which I didn't know what it was until this book. Cause she had originally like she was a too much of a giver, and the fiance was too much of a taker. And so she ended up like buying this house for this guy. But then they broke up. He broke up with her because his brother told him to. So now she owns this house next to his brother. And then she's going to move into it because she's spiteful and hates him and hates the fiance and hates everyone. And I'm like, get it, girl. And so then she's living next to this guy, and he is, I believe he's like a pediatrician or something. So he's just hot off the bat. And he's obviously misunderstood.
Of course.
Obviously. emotionally locked up. And so she keeps like blasting like smutty alien romance like through their window because like sure. his window's right next to hers, and just like putting him through hell because obviously he's just like attracted to her and like hates himself because
of course
it's his brother's ex fiance, and so they're both going through it, and it has one of my favorite tropes, which I guess is a spoiler. I don't really care. It's a virgin hero. In contemporary romance, fuck me up. It was so good. And, like, he studied so long. Like, I think I gave this book, this is the truth, I gave this book 4.25 stars. So I gave it 4 stars on Goodreads. And then I just sat there thinking about it. And then after 2 hours of just thinking, like, how that man just loved eating her out so much and just, like, kept going back. Like, he just kept going back, and then I just kept going back to the scenes. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. 5 stars. Because I was like, I just kept thinking about it. Like, it's one of those where I'm like, it just caught up with me. Like, how much I really liked it. Because I think the third act kind of made me a little bit angry, which is why, because I thought he'd made a lot of progress. And then he kind of, like, went backwards in the third act, which frustrated me. But then I was like, you know what? That man could be freaking Michael Phelps with those lungs. So, like,
oh my God.
So I ended up just giving it 5 stars because it had a lasting impression. And there's a really like poignant scene or a few scenes where she's in like a depressive episode, and the way that he like cares for her, he like the things that he does are just next level, and I'm not gonna say them because like you need to experience it for yourself, but it was just so soft and lovely and beautiful, and he was so giving. She needed a giver. She needed a giver after the taker. And she got it. So, thank God. All around, that one was really good. And the audiobook was really good, too.
Wow.
Mm.
Well, on a very different note, as I said, another forever book. I'm not the marketer. Lady Charlotte Always Gets Her Man by Violet Marsh. Mm. Listen, I am a sucker for, like, a – just a, like – delightfully silly Cookie. Historical romance. Yeah. She like yeah. what if it's just like a heist-esque novel where
more.
There's like a bad guy who she's engaged to, and she has to prove that he murdered his previous wives or whatever to try to get out of marrying him, and his brother, who is her brother's best friend, has recently returned, and he's so hot, but he's super nerdy. And also secretly a vigilante, and spends part of the book like running across rooftops and stuff for
like,
no.
Beats up his brother at one point.
And he does.
Like, oh, okay.
And then there's also like a monkey who falls in love with a parrot.
Yes,
which is delightful. It. I don't know what more you want. Actually, it's just like I want like a silly good time in a historical setting,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And also like a you know a little room. It's. Like closed door or whatever, not spicy, yeah. steamy, what like yeah. at all, but like I want like a silly goofy time, and it was a silly goofy time. It delivered the Scooby-Doo vibes of it all.
Signed and sealed,
like they mm-hmm. know who the villain is, but there's a scene that is basically that scene at the end of Scooby-Doo where they like take the mask off even though they knew who it was the whole time, yeah. And I was like, wow, this is very Scooby-Doo of you.
God, I love whenever that comes up in like modern media of just like you meddling kids.
I also learned that she was inspired by Friends.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Which I didn't realize, but as soon as Dana said it, I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, the book starts with her at a wedding dress fitting, and she like runs out and goes to this coffee house and meets like I think it's like a estranged family, and then it's her brother's best friend who I'm pretty sure has been in love with her this whole time, like
oh,
it's
yeah.
Ross and Rachel, but like if Ross was hot and not terrible. And also, is it
Ross
like a paleontologist
monkey.
Or something?
He has a monkey.
He does have a monkey. That's so true.
He is a paleontologist. Yeah.
Dinosaur yeah. This guy's like a biologist, like a scientist and also a doctor. God.
The pieces are all coming into place.
Yeah.
Funny.
So there you go.
I do wish I would have known that so I could have kept tabs more on the Friends references.
I know. I think it was probably just the setup.
Yeah.
I don't know that it was like a whole retelling mm-hmm. thing, but as soon I was like, oh, the wedding dress and the coffee shop, and they keep coming back to the coffee shop, and that's where the kind of like group of them keep meeting.
That's funny. I can't wait for Emily Howard's was it She's All That? Duke's All That? God, I just love historical romance inspired by 80s.
You mean
90s,
the Forever 2000s. One?
Yeah.
The Worst Duke in London is 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yeah. What did I say?
She's All That.
Oh, yeah, 10 Things. I read another one, The Duke Sell That.
The fuck I don't know which one that is. I'm also excited out? For the new Forever one.
Yeah,
he's got a cat climbing his leg
oh my
on
God.
The cover.
Christina Britton's is The Duke Sell That. I mean, another recommendation, but that's not.
You're so right.
That's
you're
not She's so All right. That. Bookshop Cinderella was She's All That, right? Yes, I believe so.
I can't remember the plot of She's All That now. Oh, yeah, the bet. Yeah.
The bet. Am I a fucking bet? Yeah.
Yeah. But like if she knew she was the bet from the get-go.
Yep. Amazing.
The Worst Duke in London, everyone needs to go look at the cover right now because there is a little kitten climbing that man's leg.
Me goes to look at it again.
Yeah. I love it. So there's a couple of kittens on the cover, but specifically there's one climbing his leg. And it's so cute.
I love 10 Things I Hate About You. It'll be so good. I'm so excited. And this is Emily Howard, so like win all around.
I have to say, because this is a book that I'm a marketer on. I'm working on it with Dana. I haven't read it yet, but I did command F search in the like Kindle, and it does appear to be in true Emily Howard form. Quite steamy.
Amazing. I would expect nothing less of
Someone
based on Heath Ledger.
I'm just going to assume it's going to be a banger. And I say that, would say whether I were working on it or not.
Yeah, I'm not working on it at all. And I say that.
So there you go. So, that's how you know it's unbiased. Because we are the least biased people when it comes to romance novels and authors.
Yep. Never been biased once in my life, actually. So
never.
What are you doing? Yeah, so I'm very excited for that one, but again, that one's not out for a while. Yeah. The next one that has been out for a little bit, but again, you should definitely buy, is The Partner Plot, another pink book. The next one I'm going to do is pink, too, but you know what?
I mean, my list is done, so.
Okay, cool. I have a brand, and it is pink books. And that one, again, is, like, just so Hallmark-y and fun and low angst. A little bit more angsty, I'd say, than the Kiss Countdown. Just because it was, like, Second Chance. She turns into, like, this pretty big, I believe, like, celebrity stylist, I think. And then they were, like, high school sweethearts. And then I think he had, like, an injury, but he was, like, a really good basketball player. And then now he, like, teaches – or he, like, coaches a high school team, I believe. And then I think he wants to, like, go up to the college level or something and, like, coach up there. Mm-hmm. So he kind of, like, wants to get out of this town. But then she, like, already escaped this town. But then she moves back because she breaks her leg or, like, sprains something. And then she, like, gets trapped in this town that she had just, like, went back to visit. And then he's there. And they accidentally end up married in Vegas.
Sure, as one does.
Yeah. And so – because they were both down there for separate reasons. And they, like, run into each other. And then they wake up married, and banger of a plot every single time. I love it. It's so fun to me. And then they go home to their town, and then I think she ends up, like, injuring herself and then having to stay there. So they have to, like, pretend that they're, like, actually, like, happily married for, like, PR, basically, because his coaching position wants, like, someone married. And then her career, for reasons I'm forgetting, she needed to have someone, I think because her ex was, like, dating like a pop star or something and like rebounding, and so she needs to have like her shit locked down. And it was just really fun. I gave The Neighbor Favor, also by Christina Forrest, 5 stars, and I gave this one 5 stars. Like, she just writes like the perfect, I think, level of like angst but fun, like, and just setups that are just so freaking fun. Like the Neighbor Favor, she's like pen pals with her favorite author, and he turns out to be really hot and her new neighbor. And he takes her on dates to Barnes & Noble and just buys her books. Like, I want that. Like, She just really writes things that I just want. She knows. She knows. Yeah. And again, that cover is so beautiful. So 10 out of 10. Recommend. And then you said your list was done?
Yeah. I didn't have a fifth the last, didn't yeah. read.
The last one is another one that is just pink and pretty. And that's Say You'll Be Mine by Nina Kumar. That's another fake dating one. Because her ex is a douche canoe and he's getting married. So then he sends her an invite. She doesn't really want to go. But then her parents are like setting her up on dates. And she ends up fake dating the most recent date. Because they got along. Like, they liked each other. But they both weren't like looking for relationships. But then so on and so forth, you know. End up fake dating. And he like falls like pretty fast. But then she's still kind of like hung up on. Because he was like a friend that she's always had feelings for. But he just like uses her. And
it's fine, I dropped my phone. Sorry.
And she's like the best man in his wedding, and he's just so horrible. But the hero was such a cinnamon roll, and she gets to like yell at this guy, like the bad one at the end. Again, the cover I just really like, and it was very cute, and it was a really good debut, and I can't wait to read the next book by her. And that concludes that. Anticlimactic of me just thinking I had something more to say and then not. Par for the course.
I mean, we did it.
We did. We did it.
Mm-hmm. So there you have
go
it.
Go us. There you do.
There you do.
Mm-hmm. There you do.
So true. There you do.
Yeah.
I got nothing.
On the list? No, I am. In the future, either an episode or newsletter on more like anticipated or like I read a lot of books that are coming out this summer and they were all very good, but none of them I can talk about for this because they are not out yet. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I want to do like a summer TBR or something like that. Mm-hmm. Because there are some good ones coming, and stay tuned for whatever we end up doing with Tortured Poets.
Lord help me.
Lord. Oh my God. Yeah, it's gonna be a lot. But we can do it. I have faith.
I don't.
I do. Just you can do it with a broken heart. That's not what I meant to say, but I went there anyway.
Well, I mean, we did it. Hit up an indie bookstore. If you don't have an indie bookstore by you, hit up bookshop.org or Libro.fm if you're an audiobook listener. Those are both and ways to support indie bookstores.
Yeah. And if you're looking for like a romance one, I know Meet Cute Bookshop does online stuff. Ripped Bodice does online stuff. I feel like there are some more that are like popping up that if you're not by them, they still do online shopping as well.
And if you weren't
or just clear just on. Just go to the library. That's good for books too. I know it's not so indie bookstores, but you know, support the authors.
If you weren't clear on bookshop.org, if you hadn't heard of that one, that you choose an indie bookstore that your purchase supports.
Same thing with Libro.fm.
But shipping, yes. And that one's audiobooks, so.
Yep. Lots of so it's really cool. Yeah, support. And I've like been seeing sales and stuff and like promotions for this week and weekend. And yeah, it's just a fun time.
A fun time indeed. So, yay, indie bookstores. We love them.
We do. Do you have a Formula One update?
I feel like so many things have happened.
Pick your favorite or least favorite.
Lando Norris came in P2 at the Chinese Grand Prix. That was a crazy race.
It was bonkers. She whispers.
Like what's P2? Two? Plate, yeah, second place. Okay. Sorry. They don't like, call it second place. They say P1, P2. P3, P4, etc.
They want to confuse me, I see.
Second place. Yes, just you.
Just me.
You specifically, in fact. So,
that's well, I love that for you, my resident delightful. Lando Norris stan.
I am, yeah.
A resident Lando Our Norris resident.
Stan. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Her member throbs for Lando.
I don't really love that. Like you're not wrong. I just don't care for the phrasing.
I don't think anyone should. If you cared for that phrasing, I'd have questions, comments, and concerns.
I could really do without that in my brain.
What's your least favorite? What's your high and low? Well, we got your high. What's your low?
My high and low. Well, currently my low is that Ferrari is apparently taking on a title sponsor. Like HP is going to be a new sponsor of theirs, which would be fine.
Like the printers?
Yeah. But the thing about title sponsors is that that's how you get things like Visa Cash App Racing Bulls or Stake F1 Team Kick Sauber. So what was Scuderia Ferrari? There are rumors. I don't know if it's been confirmed yet. I've just seen people talking about this as a – nope, they changed it. It's on Instagram. It's now Scuderia Ferrari HP. Which, I mean, we're all still just going to call it Ferrari, but, like, it's the historic team. It's the one that's been there since the first Formula One race, and it's always been Scuderia Ferrari. So the audacity to add an HP to it – that's, like, blasphemous, actually. That's horrific. I already don't like title sponsors.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to do it to Ferrari? They do, though, counterpoint. For Miami, they're doing a blue. We don't know what the car is going to look like, but they released some very cool, like, merch shots of the drivers wearing this, like, gorgeous – think, like, Guido – from Cars, that little blue guy, that color blue.
They meant Guido from Star Wars, which was also blue, so I see why they
it's all coming together, but that like color blue is the color of the shirts and stuff they've been wearing, and I'm really hoping they give us a full blue Ferrari for Miami.
That would be fun.
I think that would be sick. However, I'm really upset about Scuderia Ferrari HP.
What's a Scuderia?
It's a team.
Is that like someone's name?
It's Italian for teams.
Oh, okay. I was like, what?
There are several. I think there's a couple of other F1 teams that use Scuderia instead of team, but I can't remember what they are.
Huh. Learn something new every day.
Yeah. But I mean, like Ferrari's like the one that they refer to as like the Scuderia.
Yeah.
Like it's understood. The audacity to add HP. Whatever. Lando came in second place. I'm doing great.
The duality.
So true. The duality.
Jack Antonoff, Aaron Dessner of it all.
I fear, unfortunately, I am a Jack Antonoff girly.
I can be either one, depending on what song they write and produce together. I mean, like, Aaron Dessner did hits different. Would I have clocked that? No.
I wouldn't have gotten
that. So he's got it in him. He's got the spirit of Jack in him.
The spirit.
It just didn't come out a lot in this album. Because Down Bad, goddamn. Right?
Have you seen the guy who he does? I think he's on, like, Patreon or something, but I always see clips of him on TikTok who, like, reacts to.
I've seen a few different reactions. I don't know if it's this.
He's like H. Hayes something or other. But he like, a lot of people watch him specifically. He doesn't only react to Taylor Swift. I just only ever see him. He reacts to a lot of, like, musical things. He must do something with music because he sounds like he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
I don't know who he is. I know I love seeing him react to Taylor Swift music. I think he, like, went on a whole journey because he had, like, never really listened to her before and, like, listened to all of it. And now
I watch a lot of YouTubers who did that back in the day.
And so I've seen clips of him responding to this one. And when he did I Can Do It with a Broken Heart, the chorus hit and he paused it and went, Jack!
Yeah, that's a crazy Bleacher song. He was like, I'm just going to make you a Bleacher song. You're going to deal with
it. And it hit. It was a banger.
That's a fun song.
We need to stop talking about this and just sign off and call it a day. So happy Indie Bookstore Day. Welcome back.
Welcome back to us, indeed. And then we're gonna go away for a week and do a newsletter, and then we'll be back once again, right in your ear holes.
I'll be back. You'll be Beethoven.
I'll be back. That's not where you went with it, but that's okay.
The duality of my
it is us. And with that, goodbye.